Blog Talk Radio.
Baby girl, a message saying I'll be coming home. I'd rather be alone. She doesn't fully understand me, and I'd rather leave than to cheat. If she give me some time, I can be the man she needs. But there's a lot of lust inside of me, and we've been together since our teenage years. I really don't mean hurt her, but I need some time to be alone. But when you love someone, you just don't treat them bad. Oh, how I feel so sad now that I wanna leave. She's crying apart to me. How could you let this be? I just need time to see where I wanna be, where I wanna be. Decision that's so hard. Do I leave? Do I stay? Do I go? Well, think about my life and what matters to me the most. Girl, the love that we share is real, but in time your heart will heal. I'm not saying I'm gone, but I have to find.
Jones. Welcome to Relationships 360 Degrees, and thanks for joining us this evening. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallo, producer and host of this program, which airs Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on Blog Talk Radio. In our Relationships 360, my guests and I provide you with expert advice to help you repair, build, and maintain enriching, positive, long-lasting, character-based relationships. And tonight, Rael Sims, the leading authority on the neuroscience of relationships worldwide, joins the program, integrating the disciplines of neuropsychology, biology, and anthropology. Rael is a licensed and certified counselor with the Relationship Coaching Institute and the Prepare Enrich program. And his passion is analyzing the neuroscience of love by dissecting why we do what we do from an eco, bio, psycho, social, spiritual point of view. And Rael got his start as the on-air relationship expert for 102.3 KJLH's Home Team Morning Show and the Real Talk Show with Adai Lamar. Formerly the co-host of London's Love Talks, he is now the recurring relationship expert for the UK's Ask Patricia Show, Hollywood's KCLA, The Dating Advice Girl, Zimbabwe Africa's Let's Talk About It, and St. Croix Virgin Islands Real Talk with Narcisse and Company. Rael, who has been featured in numerous publications and media programs, including Essence Magazine and on National Public Radio, served as the official relationship coach for the Hirsch Group and the Tavis Smiley Foundation's Leadership Institute. He also works as a relationship advisor for the entertainment industry and speaks at correctional centers, colleges, and churches to motivate youth and adults to make wise relationship choices. Currently pursuing a doctorate degree in neuropsychology, Rael is preparing his Prepare for Love book series on the neuroscience of relationships and is happily married. So sorry, ladies, about that. Rael, thanks for holding on. Did I make you blush?
Wow, I just can't believe all that stuff, man, that I've done. It was
absolutely.
Like, wow,
I mean, you have
me?
A fantastic resume, for sure,
wow.
So, it's definitely, you know, a privilege, you know, to have you on the show. I know that you have been following Relationships 360 for a while now, at least for the past couple of years. We are friends on Facebook. You actually called in to the Marriage Restoration Show last month, and I definitely appreciate that. So thanks for coming on and being, you know, in the guest seat tonight. And we definitely look forward to hearing from you and what you have to say from a neuroscientific perspective.
Yes, thank you. I'm very honored to be on. Like I said, I've been listening to your show for years now. You know, I've been pretty impressed with the guests that you've had on and the information that you have to that's been circulating within your radio show. So it's been really good.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And if you guys want to join the program, you guys out there that are listening to the show, you can reach us at 714-409-0610. I wanted to give the number right off the bat because a lot of times I can, you know, when we get deep in a conversation, you know, I kind of forget that. So I wanted to throw that out there. And definitely if you want to add any comments to the chat room, you're welcome to do so. I'll be happy to share them with Rael on the air tonight. So, Rael, I wanted to clarify some things about your background. You refer to yourself as a relationship scientist. What does that mean?
Well, I basically talk from when I'm talking about relationships, I'm basically talking from a scientific point of view, from an eco-biopsychosocial point of view. Why we do what we do when it comes to our biological and our psychological ability, I thought it was just very important for people to really understand why some of the things that we do and that it has some things to do with our biological aspect and our psychological and our spiritual So I was more interested in that, went back to school so I can learn more about science. I was always crazy about science anyway. I always wanted to know why. So when we talk about things in relationships, I still want to know why. Okay, I understand you should communicate. Okay, but why? I understand you shouldn't kiss right now on the first date, but why? You know, so I always wanted to know, you know, I always wanted to get that science point. Yeah,
we definitely have that in common, but I decided to pursue a journalism degree. So kind of different routes, you know, that we took. But so that's very, very interesting. We look forward to, you know, hearing more about this and, you know, kind of getting, you know, into the brain, you know, and you explaining, you know, why we do what we do from a psychological perspective as well as other perspectives as well. You mentioned spiritual as well. So we look forward to that.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you. I know you're getting the neuropsychology degree. I think you have like 10 other degrees or some crazy number.
Yeah.
If you can kind of tell us a little bit more about, you know, the kind of training you did to become a relationship scientist, you know, up to this point.
Yeah. Well, of course, I had to be certified and licensed as a counselor and also as a relationship coach, of course. And my specialties is in biology and neuropsychology. I mean, without putting myself on an imperialistic pedestal, those are pretty much some of the things that I, as well as a lot of other certificates and degrees that I do have.
Okay. And, you know, your work has landed you in Hollywood acting as a consultant to the film industry, I believe. I think I said entertainment industry in the introduction, but I know when you and I spoke a couple of weeks ago, you said it was for the film industry. So can you tell us more about your work in that area?
Yeah, it's for film. It's for film and music too, as well. What I do is I pretty much edit or dissect one's script when the theme is about relationships. The theme is a love type film, or the song has to do with love. And what I do is just add the science component in that part of the film. And when they're talking about relationships. So I kind of bring that reality, that new technology into the script.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know, just to edify the audience again as to, you know, why we do what we do from a neuropsychological point of view and what's going on in our brain when we're doing this, when we're looking at each other, what's really happening in our brain.
Can you give us an example of like a movie that you've worked on or that you've, you know, acted as a consultant? Like anything that, you know, we would recognize?
You know, I have so many in my head. I went totally blank. Well, there was a recent film that was on Showtime. I just went blank on that film.
That's okay.
Rain.
Oh, go ahead.
Rain.
Yeah,
it was about the last 5 hours of the end of the world.
That was the name of the movie?
Yeah, Rain
was
the name of the movie. Yeah,
Rain.
It's a couple of more, and it's a couple of films that I'm working on right now. But those two I can't really say right now until they come out. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No problem. So, guys, check out that movie. You said it was Rain on Showtime.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, here's another fun fact, you know, for you guys out there listening, before we, you know, get, you know, deep into the discussion about dating during divorce, I wanted to throw this out. Rael, you were saying that you were a competitive race car driver. How often do you race and how often do you win?
God. You just really, you like dug everything about me, huh?
I try to do my homework, you know, on my guests. So,
you
try to make it interesting.
That's good, too. I race every other weekend. NASCAR racing here in California. I've always wanted to be a racing car driver and wanted to be an IndyCar, Formula One. But, of course, you know, it's very difficult for to get sponsors too. So right now it's just the NASCAR.
Very, very cool. And, yeah, what's your winning percentage?
I haven't lost yet.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So, yeah, I'm assuming we can see some of this stuff online or on YouTube.
On YouTube, Facebook. There's a couple of races on my page, actually. Yeah.
Okay, very, very cool. Well, yeah, let's get to the show or the reason you guys are tuning in. But yeah, I definitely wanted to. I thought that Rael had a very interesting background. And, you know, I just kind of wanted to give you some insight, you know, into that, you know, to, you know, help you to see, you know, why I brought him on this program and, you know, to kind of, you know, for you to better understand, you know, where he's coming from, you know, as we delve into this discussion tonight about dating while separated, dating, you know, during divorce proceedings and, you know, the negative consequences of that from a neuroscientific perspective. As I did mention earlier, Rael, you are a Mary, but you've coached countless men and women around the world who were either separated or fresh off a divorce. How does separation and divorce impact a person from a neuroscientific point of view? Just like what's going on, you know, from a neuroscientific point of view when a man or a woman is going through divorce or when they're separated?
Well, you know, first of all, we have to know that separation is not a good thing or divorce, and we have certain stages going through the divorce where it's very difficult to let go, and that's one of the major things. So what's really going on is that we're still yearning for that person, and a lot of people aren't aware of the process that we have to put ourselves through in order to get over a separation or divorce, because we're constantly still thinking, well, it's going to work, it's going to be good, you know, we're our bodies are constantly addicted to that other partner, so it's very challenging to really let go of that person. And when I say let go of the person, and I really mean our chemistry. You know, and I'm not saying something that we don't already know, but we talk about chemistry a lot, right? And mm-hmm. chemistry plays a major part when we have these separations or divorce. And a lot of people that just can't get over that separation or that divorce, and people are still, you know, they're separated or they're divorced, but yet still they're still going through traumatic events. Just thinking about trying to get back together or trying to get over that person.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, what parts of the brain, you know, are being impacted? You also mentioned chemistry. What is that, you know, exactly, if you can break that down for us?
Well, the chemistry is like all of these certain drugs that we become addicted to. What I love about this is when we talk about the science and we talk about spirituality, it's all in one because it's just the discovery of God, of what God created. So when we talk about the chemistry, we're really talking about what God created, you know, how we become so addicted to someone. So we're talking about things like phenylephrine. We're talking about dopamine. We're talking about serotonin. We're talking about oxytocin. All of these natural drugs that we have that causes us to be attracted to each other and keep us bonded to each other, right? Mm-hmm. And it's no different than the street drugs that people have when they become addicted to them, and then when it's time to come off of them, you run into the exact same withdrawal with the person, where the brain, the pleasure center part of the brain, the kinetic nucleus part of the brain, the nucleus cumbus part of the brain, where it's the reward center, where it's asking for, when it's wanting, when it needs, all of that is lit up. If we put them in a CAT scan, you would see that certain part of the brain lit up, and it's that person that's still asking for and yearning for that partner.
Yeah, that's very interesting. What I'm thinking about, are there ways to, like, turn these things off?
I guess
that's a whole nother show.
Yeah, it takes time to really to shut it down, and that's one of the major challenges with people, especially if you're on the side that, you know, that you didn't want, if you're on the side that you weren't the one who agreed to actually break up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, on your side, it's really, you know, it's very challenging. And, yes, it depends on a certain person. You know, there's no treatment for the same treatment for everybody, you know, and that's one of the mistakes too. But I can say trying to minimize yourself from the person, which sometimes is impossible because you may have kids and you have to see, you know, your significant other every once in a while,
right.
You know, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you handle a situation like that when you can't completely disassociate yourself from that person? You know, what do you do, you know,
the recovering drug addict, right? Or recovering, you know,
yes.
alcoholic, it makes it harder, you know, not to have those feelings when, you know, you're constantly in the company of the person. So you're
yes,
saying, you know,
absolutely.
Having children, which causes you to see the person, you know, every other week or weekend, it's going to make it a lot harder.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes it a lot harder because they try to tell you to stay away from people who are drinking, stay away from the parties,
right.
Right? But, you know, what do you do when, you know, he has to come and pick up the kids, take them to school, or the visitation rights, you know, if you come, you know, to come in and pick up the kids, what do you do? You know, so you have to, you have to be strong.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about, you know, kind of the negative consequences of, you know, dating during divorce. So, you know, while, you know, we were just talking about, you know, the kids, I mean, that could be, you know, one factor that having kids with the person or with your spouse would make it easier, you know, for them to, you know, reconcile, you know, with the spouse as opposed to going with the other person that they start a dating relationship with. Do you agree
with
that? Yeah,
so are you saying that that it's better that you have kids to help you get back together?
No, I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying from based on what you're saying that the kids would kind of, you know, give a person those feel-good feelings, you know, about the spouse and kind of keep them bonded, you know, spouse as opposed to not having kids, you know, with the person that they may start dating during the divorce process or separation. So that would be an advantage, I guess, for the husband and wife.
At least you get a chance to you get a chance for the kids to interact with each other during that process. Because, you know, we have to understand, too, sometimes what is a separation? You know, sometimes separation can be good in a sense that you're stepping aside, but yet you're getting help. Some people don't do that. Some people find separation as party time, right? And and with party time, this means that, you know, I'm separated. I don't have that obligation of being faithful, right? Let me go out and start dating, and let me start, you know, seeing other people. That's not a good thing, because if your purpose for the separation is to help each other, if that's the agreement that you had, but most people actually take that separation as I'm free. They want to feel like, what does it feel like to be free? Now, I can understand if you're in a traumatic relationship and you're running out and you want to know what it feels like, which is still not a great thing either, but they still run out and try to feel like, you know, what does it feel like to be free? What does it feel like to date other people? And that's the danger when you're going out and you're seeking companionship in other places. And that could be pretty devastating to someone.
Right. I think they're referred to as you know, rebound relationships. And, you know, from, I guess, in my, you know, own experience, or from what I've seen, and also, you know, from what I've researched and read, you know, as well, men tend to jump into rebound relationships, you know, following separation, divorce, breakup, or whatever, more often than women do. So is there some sort of, you know, scientific explanation for, you know, why that occurs?
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as when we talk about men, we know back in the primitive time that, you know, the male starts a family and he can easily move on to seek another family. That can happen, not necessarily if, you know, he's really serious about his family. It's just easier. However, women can do it, too. You still have that feeling of going to seek out companionship, because especially if something that you weren't getting in that relationship, so you go out and seek it too as well. And on both parties, it's not a good thing, because.
Well, why is it easier for men? You said it's easier for men to leave one family and go and start another one.
Biologically speaking, just all living male species. That, you know, one of our major reasons, you know, for life is to plant that seed, is to procreate, is to have kids, and then to move on, right? And we're talking about from a primitive standpoint. And, I really don't want to just say it's easier for men than women. I think both parties, when it's a traumatic relationship, we still go out trying to seek something that's going to make us feel better than the relationship that we're in right now. And it makes a lot of sense, especially when it wasn't when we separated as a having a lot of problems within the relationship, because you always want to feel happy. You want to feel better, you know, so you go out and you look for a false relationship, you know, and that's common. It's dangerous, but it's common, because what happens is you go out, you find someone, and you feel like, hey, this person is really cool, I like this person. You get into a relationship, a sexual relationship, and you realize that now you've gotten over your significant other, but then you realize that this person that you're in a relationship with, you only use that person as a codependent. And you're not interested in that person anymore. And so now you're hurting that person. So that's a whole other relationship scenario that you have to get through too as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's one issue, you know, with a rebound relationship. We kind of talked about how, you know, if the spouse, you know, that I guess goes and pursues a new relationship, has kids, you know, with the husband or wife, you know, that they left, that those having children would make it easier, you know, for them to come back home as well. So, I mean, that can be an issue. Can you kind of, you know,
yeah,
talk
but we
about
have to
anymore?
Be careful, too.
Uh-huh.
We have to also be careful that we're not just coming back just because of the kids, too. Because
oh,
that
no,
also,
I meant in the sense that, yeah. you know, when you're seeing the spouse during the time where, you know, you're trading off of the kids, you know, every other weekend while you're co-parenting, that kind of thing, that would constantly induce those, you know, feel-good, you know, feelings, you know, when you're in the presence of the person. We kind of talked about how it was similar to a recovering drug addict, you know, being exposed to, you know, drugs or people, you know, that use, you know, and abuse drugs, but make it harder, you know, for them to recover.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a challenge, you know, for them in their recovery. Are there other issues, you know, that you can think of from, you know, maybe a spiritual perspective even, that, you know, rebound relationships, you know, cause?
Well, you know, I could say biologically, which is spiritual too as well, some of the things that we have to be careful with when we're dating outside, when we're like just in divorce or separation. You know, when I mentioned earlier, just becoming intimate with someone could also be very devastating because we could fool ourselves into thinking that we found someone that is better than our significant other, which also doesn't give us room to think about or to keep the plan that this is to actually get work to help us to get back together. And again, if somebody is having therapy, but yet still they're going out looking for someone and they become intimate, you become intimate with somebody. Remember we talked about the chemistry? That chemistry doesn't think for us. It doesn't care. It's, you know, it's not like it's saying, hey, wait a minute, no, let's not do this because, you know, we're separated. You know, the chemistry doesn't care. It's out looking for a match. And one of the dangerous things is that you're out here looking for, you know, you're out here looking for a match, and most of the time you end up finding finding the same person, the exact same person. You know when you hear people say
what do you
this?
Mean the same person?
Yeah, you know when you hear people say, you might hear women say, "Oh, girl, you know I met him and it feels like I've been knowing him forever," right? And you feel like this is a great thing, but yet it's not. It's not. It's really the body has just found someone else that has the same characteristics, that has the same personality, that has the same DNA, that has the same major histocompatibility complex as this other person, and it's just in a different body. We, you know, again, our body yearns for that particular person. But when you're out looking for someone else, you really have to be careful if you haven't detoxed from that person, because you will pick up the same person when it comes to the DNA. You will, your body, because your body's still looking for what makes you feel good. It knows what makes you
feel
good.
You're saying you would quickly, are you saying that you would quickly attach to someone that you're dating while you're separated from your spouse, but they may not be good for you in other ways? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. They may not be a good person for you. You think they are because you feel all good.
In terms of, like, character and then, you know, long-term compatibility in terms of their personality, their interests, hobbies, that kind of thing. But sexually, they're is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, because what it is that you're just finding someone that is the exact match of your significant other. And that's why you feel, that's why you feel that feeling. That's why you feel so good. So that's why this is so imperative for people to share that message when someone says, well, it feels like I've been knowing him forever. Well, I think as a friend, we should also say, well, is it because he seems like your ex?
That you have been with forever before you guys got separated?
That you have been with forever? That's our duty as a friend, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what we should do as a friend. That's our duty, because that could possibly be what's really happening. So you have to have a capacious mind and not a vacuous mind, and actually have, you know, evaluate what's going on with my body right now, what's happening with me, because I feel so good. And, you know, yeah, you got to feel good, because that's that altered state of consciousness. That's a euphoria. That's those natural drugs that's making you so high off of that. You know, and you don't want to evacuate right now. All you know is I'm having a wonderful time. And, yeah, that's the same wonderful time that you had when you first met your significant other. You know, and you feel like...
Yeah, before life got in the way, right?
Exactly. Before life getting in the way.
Or maybe life didn't get in the way. Maybe you just decided that you wanted variety. But are you really getting variety when you're getting the same person over again?
When you're getting the same person, you're getting the exact same person. Yeah.
The exact same chemical or formula. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The same exact formula. Because our bodies... We're not looking for when we say we're looking for someone in common, we're talking about social things. You know, I'm a lawyer, you're a lawyer, you know, you like football, I like football. But when it comes to the body, so when that body is looking for a match, it's looking for the opposite match. It's not looking for the same DNA, right?
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I hope so. opposites attract. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. That was my interest. You know, what separates me from the other relationship experts is that, I built the science in, but I'm not saying something that you don't already know. Remember,
if that DNA is the same, then you kind of friend zone that person during the dating process.
Yeah.
Correct? Is that what you're saying that happens? Because the DNA is too similar, and so... You kind of reject, you know, that person.
And absolutely, absolutely. Your body, your biological system rejects it. Yeah, your sympathetic system, your sympathetic nervous system, your DNA, all of that rejects it. Says no. But when it finds something of that opposite of your DNA, it says this is the perfect match to have a perfect mate. You know, because it's also about the procreation. So they're looking for...
Yeah, so there can be many men or many women that have, you know, this DNA that's similar, you know, to your spouse. But, I mean, it's similar, so you might as well, you know, just maintain your spouse. So really what you're looking for is someone that you may have more in common, like socially, you were saying, and then, you know, maybe even spiritually, you know, as well, because maybe that's another reason why you separated from your spouse, because you weren't on the same page spiritually.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about, like, the spiritual component and, you know, the issues that it causes, you know, if a spouse entered into a rebound relationship? I think you referred to a false relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And see, that's so important when we talk about the spiritual point of view. Again, when you mentioned to your beliefs, and that's very important too as well. And that's also something that you have to be very careful when you meet someone and someone says, yeah, you know, I believe this, I believe I'm a Christian, or, you know, I'm Baptist. You know, you really have to be careful with that. And go with your, one thing that a woman has is the discernment. You know, you have to feel that and follow it. You know, it's something that's telling us, it's our angel. And spiritually speaking, I'm going to say the angel. Scientifically speaking, I would say, you know that little man, you ever see the cartoons when you see that little man? You see this large robot, and the little man is working all the controls inside of the head of that big robot,
uh-huh,
right? That
yeah.
big giant, right? You see? That part is the actual limbic system of our brain. And that's what, like, the major, major component of our brain, the limbic system. And it warns us, you know, with danger. And you've heard of the fight or flight, right? And for those who haven't heard of the fight or flight, it's when you are approached danger, there's a certain part in our limbic system called the amygdala. And that amygdala alerts a certain part of our frontal cortex. And it tells us, and that part of our brain, the frontal cortex, is the part of the brain that reasons, you know, if you saw a stick and the amygdala thinks it's a snake, and it goes to your frontal cortex, and then the cortex looks a little longer because your body will also stop for a second or two. You will always stop for a second or two. And then you would look a little longer and go, oh, wait a minute, it's not a snake. It's a stick, right? And everything that's happening to your body, your blood pressure, the glucose, cortisol, you know, your blood sugar, all of that starts running through your body to give you energy, whether you're going to fight or if you're going to flight, if you're going to run, right? Now, that warning system is the same warning system I like to connect to the spirit, because that warning system is part of our spirit, because that's what the spirit cuts on to our body and makes us more aware to danger, right? And so, again, when we run into someone and we have this certain feeling about somebody, remember when we say, you know, it's something about that person that I don't like, you know, or it's something about that person that's making me feel kind of funny. Pay attention to that, because that's that discernment.
So we would actually have these physical signs of danger. So what are some of, how would this manifest physically?
Yeah, you know, with your heart rate, once your heart rate starts to rise, you start to sweat, you just feel you're short of breath. And spiritually, you get this sense about, you know, I don't want to go too deep as far as demonic spirits, but if you, a spirit, you know, when you feel somebody's spirit and you're not comfortable, that is that warning sign. That's that body being warned. And we all have it. We all have it. We just have to pay attention to it. We have to pay attention to it. And, you know, it's the best reward ever to practice and to perfect. Once you get that, oh, man, it's the best weapon ever. Because when you come in contact with another human being, that particular, that spirit, that sense, that amygdala, that limbic system of your brain cuts on immediately. Look, you know when you walk to the edge of a building or the edge of a mountain?
Yeah, let's get through
this
pretty quickly because I want to get to a break really quick and, you know, hopefully a phone call. But go ahead.
Yes. When you walk to the edge of a building or walk to the edge of a mountain, what happens to the body? What happens to the mind? It pulls you back, right? It doesn't let you keep, it doesn't allow you to walk on, you know, because it knows this is danger. If we take a step on, we will fall. And when we fall, it's a possibility we will die, right?
And we do it so many times. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's what we have to pay attention to. When we're encountering another human being, our bodies, it's that limbic system is working for us. It's our angel, you know.
Yeah, and so, you know, with these rebound relationships, you know, they usually manifest very, very quickly. And so we don't have a lot of time to pay attention to those physical warning signs that we might, you know, get about a person. We might be dating a person. Get these physical warning signs that, you know, you shouldn't, you know, continue this, or, you know, maybe you shouldn't go through with the divorce, but you do anyway. You get divorced for that person thinking that they're the one, you know, because you have great sex, that kind of thing. And, you know, come to find out, you weren't paying attention to your warning system and you're not exactly a match. I think that's why they kind of say, you know, the grass is not always greener, you know, on the other side, at least, you know, with your spouse, you know.
Absolutely.
What you're getting.
Absolutely. And my so quote
taking
is
a big
grass
risk.
Is greener.
Yeah.
The grass is greener where you water it. That's right, where you put work in it. When you water that, that's where the grass is greener. And that's on your side. And that's what we don't choose to do. We don't choose to go out and get counseling, get therapy, talk to a relationship coach. We don't do that. We just separate, you know, that time that we're away from each other, that this is it. This is going to work, you know, that there's going to be some prestidigitation, you know, some legerdemain, that's some magic trick that's going to make it work, and that's not going to happen. That's not how it happens.
W-O-R-K, for sure. Marriage is work. So we have to be willing to put that work in it. Thanks, Rael, for all of that. I want to take a break. As I said, when we come back, I would like to take at least a phone call. I know that, you know, gosh, I mean, we've been having a great conversation here, but, yeah, I still have a lot more questions for you, Rael. I want to talk about, you know, befriending people of the opposite sex during separation or, you know, while a husband and wife are going through the divorce process and, you know, kind of your thoughts on that in terms of, you know, if there are any consequences or, you know, any downsides to that. So to speak to me or Rael, guys, you can dial us at 714-409-0610 during the break, or you can add your comments or questions in the chat room for me to share on the air. Be right back in just a few minutes. Hope to hear from you guys.
How do I get my husband? How do I get my husband back?
Why won't my wife have sex with me?
Where can I find a good man?
Is she marriage material?
Why do my kids hate me?
Find answers to all your relationship questions during Relationship 360 Thursday nights, now at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Plus, win relationship resources and tools to help repair, build, and maintain positive, enriching character-based relationships. Set a text or email reminder for the next episode of Relationship 360. Listen anytime at www.blogtalkradio.com/relationships360 or download the show on iTunes for easy listening on the go. Relationship 360 at www.blogtalkradio.com/relationships360 Thursday nights, now at its new time of 9 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio.
Is your marriage facing problems, separation, or divorce? There's hope. God heals hurting and dead marriages. Rejoice Marriage Ministries is a local marriage ministry dedicated to helping any spouse facing marriage problems. Founders Bob and Charlene Steinkamp are proof that marriages can be restored. Visit them online at rejoiceministries.org to sign up for the Charlene Cares Daily Devotional. That's rejoiceministries.org.
Love at the sight, I know.
Welcome back to Relationships 360 Degrees, Thursday nights at 9 on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Relationships360 and Facebook at www.facebook.com/Relationships360.
Thanks for rejoining us for Relationships 360 Degrees. I'm Tiffany Williams-Jallow, your host for tonight's show, Dating During Divorce. I'm joined by relationship scientist Rael Sims, the world's top expert in the neuroscience of relationships. And I wanted to let you guys know that you can win your very own coaching session with Rael simply by visiting relationships360.com, entering your name and email address by May 31st, that's relationships360.com, to win your very own coaching session with relationship scientist Rael Sims, tonight's guest. The Relationships 360 marketing team will randomly select and contact the winner on June 1st, so please sign up, make yourself eligible to win that coaching session by going to relationships360.com, entering your details by the end of this month. And if you'd like to weigh in on tonight's discussion about dating during divorce and the negative consequences of that, you can weigh in at 714-409-0610. Or you can add your comments to the chat room as well. Rael, I wanted to get into a couple of questions very quickly because as time is slipping away from us. But we've had a really great discussion so far. But I wanted to talk about, you know, kind of, you know, that song, I Wish I Never Met Her by Carl Thomas that we just heard, you know, coming into this part of the program is, you know, just kind of spiritually, the spiritual impact, you know, basically of that or the spiritual implications of that. I know, you know, in the Bible, both you and I are Christians, so I can say this on the show because it's my show. But, you know, in the Bible, in Malachi 2 and 15, you know, God says that, you know, he hates divorce. And he hates it because, you know, of what it does, the devastation that it causes, of course, to the family that's being broken up. But also, you know, he knows in some cases that, you know, during the separation period that one or even both spouses will get involved with another person and possibly may not, you know, stay with that person, that they're a rebound relationship and the pain, you know, that that causes, you know, like in that song, I Wish I Never Met Her, you know, Carl Thomas basically getting involved, or not him, but he's singing about a man that had gotten involved, you know, with a married woman, you know, that had a family and her basically going back to her spouse. And family and, you know, the pain, you know, that it caused him. So I just, you know, kind of want to throw that out there, you know, basically the spiritual, you know, implications of, you know, getting involved with another person so quickly, you know, immediately following a divorce or during the separation period. So causing unnecessary pain for, you know, that person that you get involved in a relationship with while you're separated. Or shortly after a divorce. Rael, did you want to add anything to that?
Well, it's pretty much some of the things that we've already said. You know, the spiritual part of why, you know, like the oxytocin that we're talking about, you know, that's a chemical that was designed for a committed couple. You know, when somebody has actually said, I do, you know, we're going to be together forever. And when we play around with that particular binding chemical, you know, the oxytocin, you know, for those who are not aware of it, it was created to, I mean, it's, well, you know, God created it. When a woman has a child, she releases oxytocin. It bonds them together. When you have a certain feeling about this person, you know, you could release oxytocin. But it's a bonding chemical. It's, you know, to keep you, to keep that marriage strong. And when you're out there just having fun as you know, being separated or divorced, that's why when you get a divorce, you shouldn't just jump right into another relationship. Absolutely not. You know, because that oxytocin can definitely fool you and make you believe that you are in love with someone, and that's not the case.
Yeah, so you kind of gave us the scientific support for the God-created one-flesh relationship between, you know, a husband and wife. You were talking about, you know, that bonding chemical and basically how it should be used, you know, within the confines of a committed relationship with a marriage, you know, being, you know, at the, you know, at the top, you know, of the scale in terms of, you know, a commitment that you can make to a person. It's a lifetime commitment, you know, between one man and one woman. And so, yeah, so you gave us the scientific support for that. Wanted to talk about, you know, as well, I know I said, you know, heading into the break, I was talking about, you know, befriending people of the opposite sex during a separation or a divorce. What are your thoughts about that in terms of, you know, the impact that it has, you know, on us biologically, physically, you know, psychologically? Is that a good thing to do, in your expert opinion?
To drop some of our friends during that period?
No, befriending people of the opposite sex. So if you are the wife, you know, going through the divorce, you know, befriending, you know, another male to kind of, you know, I guess serve as her male companion as she's going through the divorce.
Yeah. Again, that's what we do because we run out and because we want to feel good. I mean, you know, we're all living, breathing creatures who desire to seek especially for a woman. You know, you always want to feel desired. You know, that's mm-hmm. one of the major. You know, that's how marketing makes a lot of money. Makeup and dresses and shoes and all of that. They know they make tons of money. Because you want to feel desired, so you buy these things and you make up yourself and you do your hair, you know. But that's one of the things that we should take out time to detox ourselves and get to know ourselves, get to know, you know, evaluate your relationship before you jump into another one so you could be more aware of what not to do when you get into that relationship. What is it that you contribute that caused this relationship to break up? You need to also be honest to yourself about that and to understand that there are some things that I may have contributed to put us in the situation where we are, you know. So it's not a good thing to just jump in looking for a codependent. Common for us to do that because, again, you know, if you are on drugs and your drug dealer went to jail,
yeah,
you're just going to go out and look for another drug dealer, you know, because you're still an addict.
So we need to take some time to do some healing and to do some work in terms of, you know, looking to see, you know, what we contributed or how we contributed to the breakdown of the marriage or, you know, to the demise of the marriage if we have already gotten divorced before, you know, basically moving on and, you know, pursuing a relationship with another person. Because we just, you know, you're saying that we basically drag, you know, baggage from one relationship to the next.
Yeah,
which, you know, I've done research on this that, you know, the grass is not always greener on the other side because, you know, we know that second and third and fourth marriages fail at an increasingly higher rate. The more marriages you have,
Absolutely. The more you do it, the more it's going to
feel. Possibly people aren't doing the work.
Especially if you don't learn from it. If you don't take out time to learn from it, and that's why you need the time. Because I see people jump right in it, but, you know, they could tell you what not to do. I mean, they could say, you know, or they could tell you what happens. But you should take your time. You should really take your time. And you know, it's the thing is it's one of the greatest periods of your life when you're divorced. I know that's going to sound crazy, but this is an opportunity to get to know a little bit more about you. You know, this is a great opportunity to go out and enjoy life. This is a great opportunity to go learn a new language, talk to mm-hmm. self, learn a little bit more about, you know, what makes me happy. This is time for you to understand what your non-negotiable requirements are and your wants, because those three aren't the same. We think it is, but it's not. You know, you really need to understand, you know, what is my non-negotiable requirement? So next time when I'm in my interview, then I'll know how to choose my mate. And especially for you women, understand this. You know, you're the employer. Us men, we're interested in trying to get the job. The power lies in your hands. So you really, really have to understand that you're the employer. What are you looking for to hire? What kind of person are you trying to hire? In order to know the person that you're trying to hire, you have to understand the business that you're running. So you have to understand who you are. Take out that time and get to know self. It's very imperative.
Well, and, you know, but there are couples that, you know, or, you know, spouses that may have listened to my last show about marriage restoration that, you know, actually don't want to get divorced and they want to make the marriage work. And, you know, I certainly encourage that. As I was saying earlier, you know, God hates
Absolutely.
Divorce because of, you know,
yes.
what it does, you know, to people. And we also talked about, you know, at length that the grass is not always greener on the other side. Often, you know, men and women pick, you know, the same person, you know, biologically, physically, that have similar DNA to the spouse. And, you know, they can often make mistakes, you know, by having sex or getting intimate too quickly, you know, with another person. And so, you know, down the road, that often leads to, you know, failed second and third marriages and whatnot. So we definitely want to encourage, you know, our listeners to, you know, possibly look and see, you know, if there's any way that they can reconcile, you know, with their estranged spouse, or, you know, even if there's been a divorce, you know, possibly, you know, see if they can work it out and get remarried to the person that they already
oh,
know.
Yeah.
So well,
oh, yeah.
and do
Absolutely.
The work that we talked about in terms of the coaching, in terms of the
yeah.
counseling, in terms of just going out there and discovering, you know, or rediscovering, you know, yourself before you come back together. What behaviors? So those are the things that we should do. But what behaviors should a husband and wife avoid very quickly before we wrap up the show? We have a couple of minutes. But what behaviors, Rael, should a husband and wife avoid if they wish to be reconciled with their spouse? I know we talked about not jumping into another relationship too quickly. Are there any other things that you can think of that, you know, a husband and wife should avoid if they do wish to be reconciled together?
Lack of communication. You know, I think it's so important to learn communication skills, you know, to understand that when people say we do communicate, you have to understand that just communicating doesn't mean that you're communicating. It actually means that you're just talking. A lot of people are talking, but do you understand the communication? So avoid those screaming, the hollering, the, you know, going off on each other, because that's not going to help at all. Really take out time and listen. Listen, have an empirical way of listening, and to get understanding. Get understanding. That's the key to a relationship, is get understanding, not per se communication, because we all communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, when people say we stop communicating, that's impossible. We're going to communicate, whether it's nonverbal or verbal. Because you walk in the house, you slam the door, you cross your arms, you curse each other out, you may not say anything at all. That's still communication, right? You know,
right.
So that's one of the things that you really have to avoid. Communicate with each other, you know, and get an understanding of one's communication. Get understanding of one communication. When somebody is saying something to you and you do not understand, It's no different if you are in a classroom and a teacher is teaching you something and you don't understand and you raise your hand and you say you don't understand. The same thing. You have to let that person know, I don't understand. When you do that, you're conditioning your brain. You're conditioning your synapses, and you're creating more synapses to be able to say, I don't understand. The more you do that, man, you'd be totally surprised how you communicate after perfecting something such a strong component, part of your communication skills, is asking and just bringing awareness that I do not understand. Avoid being in a conversation and just saying, yeah, I understand. Avoid that. If you don't understand, say you don't understand, so that person could explain to you in a different way what you can understand. It's sort of like what we call mirroring.
Definitely.
You know, mirroring when somebody says something and you say, well, what I hear you say is, you know, you mirror that same communication back to the person. Yeah,
definitely improve the communication. And I would like to add one more thing very quickly before we wrap up. Forgiveness. If you don't have forgiveness, there can be no lasting, you know, marriage restoration. And I know that we talked about that, you know, on my last show last month with Charlene Steinkamp. She's a marriage restoration expert. She spent 2.5 years, you know, praying, fasting, you know, doing all those things spiritually in order to you know, win her husband back, and she did that. They were married for 19 years before they divorced, and they ended up being married 44 years in total. So, you know, total forgiveness and unconditional, you know, love as well. You guys would just need to go back and listen to that show from last month to understand, you know, more of what I'm talking about. But, yeah, definitely doing that. So we definitely encourage that for marriage restoration. As well.
And you remember the theory about the not forgiving, you know, stabbing yourself, hoping the other person bleed? It's so important to forgive because you're only doing damage to yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you're working against yourself, you know, when you have unforgiveness in your heart. So, yeah, definitely, definitely. Any last words of wisdom or expert advice, Rael, that you can give to the Relationships 360 family about the downsides of dating while separated or newly divorced? Any last thoughts on that?
You know, just learning, getting an education, edifying yourself what divorce is, learning the tools of how to, what are the steps of divorce, what are the steps in separation, what are the steps after divorce, and that goes to my quote, preparing yourself is to prevent repairing yourself.
All right. All right. Well, thank you so much, Rael. We, again, thank you for your time. You do so much. Many of my guests do. They're super, super talented and the top experts, you know, in their fields. And we do definitely appreciate, you know, them sharing their expert advice. And, of course, you can win a one-on-one coaching session with Rael by going out to relationships360.com, entering your name and email address by May 31st. Again, the Relationships 360 marketing team will be in touch with the winner on June 1st, and of course we'll notify you, Rael, of who that person is, so you can arrange that coaching session either by phone or through on the web, through Skype or video conferencing, email, whatever way that they want to do that, or in person, you know, if they're in the LA area where you live. And that's basically it, Rael. If you can tell us your website, I don't think we mentioned that. You have all sorts of videos, other resources. I know that you're going to be talking more about your book, you know, as you finish that on your website as well. So what is your website so our guests can follow you?
RelationshipCoachRael.com, and that's R-Y-E-A-L. Rael, RelationshipCoachRael.com.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you, my friend. And, hopefully you'll be back for Relationships 360's special three-hour program later in the year celebrating the 100th episode of this show. We'd love to have you back.
Absolutely. And I would love to come back.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Until next time, be blessed and be a blessing. Good night.
Good night.